Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Somebody give the Lord a shout. Shout glory. Are you ready tonight? London, are you ready? The shout. Praise God, praise God, praise God. It's truly an honor to be here. I want to sincerely honor God's servant and his wife. Thank you so much. You know, it's such a... I don't even know how to begin the introduction. He's a father in the body, and he's a man passionate for God's kingdom. And today, I'm honored to be here at the Elevation Point in London to bring you the word of the Lord. I believe the Lord will speak to us this evening and bless us mightily. Come on, if you are excited, give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, Mama, for having me. Thank you so much. It's truly an honor. Praise God. Honor all the ministers that are here tonight, those that ministered already and those who still minister. It's not a night of many revelations. It's a worship night, and so we'll just talk briefly by the Spirit and allow the cloud of glory to rest upon us, even as we continue with the worship. Praise God. And so if you are ready this evening to receive, can you lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Father? Please make it personal. Try as much as possible not to be religious. Talk to him from the depths of your heart. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how grateful you are to be here tonight to share in the fellowship of the saints. Go ahead and honor the Lord in your heart. Go ahead and honor the Lord. Speak to him from the depths of your heart. You to speak to the Lord for yourself. Those songs in your spirit, it's time to release them. You've been led to God's presence. Now pour out your heart to him. Pour out your heart to him. Oh, Rahakiva Atstevali Nankroski Barahagata Libra Undara Kadizo Fragadista La Aste Vradina Mantalagarus. Aliae, aliae, aliae. Yeah. said, God is spirit. And he said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When you begin to walk with God, there are realms you come into where you can't speak. Because wars at that realm are not for communication. You know, there was a place God stood in Genesis chapter 1. And he said, let there be light. He wasn't communicating, he was creating. Because at that realm, everything you speak is animated. So there's a realm where we don't talk. There are realms where words mean much more than communication. And there are certain realms you come to. Your words must be given to you, because if you speak, it will be against the protocol of the realm. Because when the glory descended, Peter said, let us create three temples. And they looked at him. You don't talk here. Keep quiet. And so when you come before a spirit that is holy, it's important to align yourself. Because you may sing songs that you know before. And because those songs touch your emotion, it doesn't mean you are uttering words at that realm. Words have to be given to you. So can we humble ourselves one more time and just chant and trust the Lord to speak? I mean, what will I tell you this evening? Some of you started reading the Bible before I was born. But there's a realm where you speak as you are commanded. And so the words that come at that realm are the lively oracles of God. I don't know if you hear the word of the Lord in London, but there are places in Zion where only God brings his oracles to men. Is anointing three people now. You need to know that worship is a vehicle in the spirit. When we worship, we are not being excited. We are traveling. We are traveling. It's a vehicle in the spirit. And that's why we teach in worship services like this. I see there's an anointing coming on someone. The Lord is about to shift you. When Israel was fighting war against Ammon, Mount Seir and Moab, all they went to battle with were songs. They didn't carry bows and arrows. As they were singing, angels were fighting. That's why we do what we do. It's not a show. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In order not to be emotional, let me speak. There are three of you that the Lord wants to anoint you now. One of you, the spirit of wisdom will come upon you. And your eyes will open. You will begin to function beyond your brain. Your brain is too small for your destiny. What God wants to do, you need to flow into inspiration. And there's a wind moving here now by the spirit. It's not an act. I wish I am able to do it in a different way. But Father, those ones you are anointing now, before I share the word of the Lord, because you are about to shift them into higher realms of experience. There is a light by my left hand here. In the name of Jesus, I stretch the rod of priesthood in your direction. Wherever they are, ushers, please let me touch them quickly. I know we don't have time. The anointing of God will come upon them. Some of them will start crying. Some of them will be overwhelmed. They will be slain. Now, touch! Please help me find those ones quick. Find them quickly. Help me find them. Angels of the presence. Now I provoke that activation. Touch them by the Spirit. Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah.
There's somebody by my right here. The Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you as a warrior. The Spirit of God is coming upon you as a warrior. The Lord wants to raise you as a warrior. You will fight the spirit of the system. Take that grace now. Thank you, Father. Valis capate sezalano arigaponde sibraka tatalaria sonatalisco terone saki bataya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please be sensitive. Be sensitive. There is a systemic spirit here that makes people move backward in the spirit, even while they are growing in the natural. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, it overwhelms their soul. And after a point, God becomes alien to them. Some of you who came from Africa, you came on fire. But when you walked into the atmosphere, you discovered there were princes in this realm. And what they did, they hijacked your spiritual experience. And as you grew, God became small in your soul. And so God wants to raise men that will fight for the heritage of God in this land. Because, listen, very soon people will not go to parliament just because they are looking for a position. God will send functionaries there because a new kingdom will be introduced. Meanwhile, while Christians are looking for money to buy land, the sons of the bondwoman are taking over. They have wisdom. They have understanding. They know that the spiritual civilization rules the natural. And until that atmosphere is created, nothing works in time. And so there is that, I don't know, but there is a spirit of a warrior. I know somebody fell under the power. Thank God for that. But towards my right here, I'm seeing a violent spirit come upon someone. Because you are a priest and God wants to raise an altar through you. These things may not be usual and common here, but where we came from is ancient. I didn't come from Africa. I live in Africa, but I came from Zion. And so when I come, I bring the dominion of God. And you need to know that I've traveled around the continent. Everywhere we go, we bring the mandate of heaven. Father, if you will, please just stretch your hands in my direction. Those of you by the right here. You may not understand this, but as you go home, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And you will be changed into another man. Father, whoever that one is that you are giving this scepter of priesthood to become a warrior, please help them quickly. Touch! 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 Thank you, Father. You can help them, help them, help them. We give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. You can bring them here. When they are done, they can go back. It's just an activation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Please sit down for a moment so I can share. My time is just racing. Now, time is a burden. There's a realm where time does not exist. And that time will come when God will bring us home. And we will have fellowship beyond the stars. Where we are not regulated by time and space. We will just be there and we know him as we are known. Thank you, Father. I want to talk to us briefly about some sensitive things we need to know to help us maximize worship. Because we can reduce worship and praise to good songs. But the economy and the transaction is deeper than the songs we sing. That's why I began by telling us that when you begin to walk with God, God is a spirit. And most times when your walk with God becomes organic, that means life begins to power you. You will discover that it's beyond church. You will discover it's a summon into intimacy to know him as you are known. And when he begins to walk with you deeply, some of the things he will do is that he will open to you the realities of his realm. And so you can be singing a song, and after a while, you will discover the energy of that realm will change. And that song will become a vehicle. It will transport you beyond your ecosystem to another civilization. And as you are singing that song, you will come to a point where God will begin to open you up to his oracles. Because the visible realm we see was created from the invisible realm. You know, we have been trapped in time. And so many things can manipulate our emotion and our understanding. And today people worship science. Meanwhile, as advanced as science is, science have not produced anything that breathes. Not even a blade of grass. All science is doing since its advancement is just to discover and to reform. I'm a scientist, so I can speak with authority. I'm a scientist. Praise God. And so the realm we are living in, it came out of another realm. This realm is an offspring of another realm. And so when you begin to walk with God, what he does is that he connects you to that realm, and you will discover that the realities that flow through you are bigger than the things you can trap. And so you may come up and suddenly tap into an inspiration. And then you come to a place, anything you see, you can make meaning out of it that the normal man cannot. Not because you read the book, but because a spirit is whispering to your ears. You can sit in your room and then wisdom comes to you. The challenges that holds millions of people in captivity, you will look at it and it will not be a challenge. It will become an opportunity. Meanwhile, you need to ask yourself, why is it that out of 4 million people, you are the only person who is able to see beyond the problem and see a solution? It's not because you are so smart. It's because there's a spirit that brings inspiration into your soul. And so these are the kinds of things that God interjects into this realm from time to time in order to give us a strategic advantage. And so when we come to worship like this, what we are trying to do is, we are not waiting for God to reach us. We are trying to enter his realm. Because we have come to understand that our advantage here is based on what we can receive from that realm. Thank God for the books we have read, but we know that inspiration is stronger than a textbook. And if inspiration does not come, you will gather information, and that information itself will become a burden. That's why sometimes you see professors, they don't comb their hair anymore, because the knowledge has become a burden. They will put their biro on their beards. But when inspiration comes, knowledge becomes power. Because you can be a comedian and you will control presidents. Meanwhile, somebody else who studied astrophysics may not be able to achieve what you achieve in 1 year. The reason is because there's a difference beyond fact and inspiration. Inspiration comes from another realm. And so when we begin to worship, what we are trying to do is that we are trying to study the realm of God and find out the things that operate from that realm. And the first thing you will discover from that realm is a king that sits eternal and desires to be worshipped. If you don't find that king, your life will not have a reference. In Exodus chapter 3 verse 14, Moses was frustrated in Egypt because he saw that the Israelites were marginalized, and he didn't find any justification to the evil that was happening to the Israelites. And so he decided to use his strength and killed an Egyptian. He thought he would kill all the Egyptians. Even if he kills the Egyptians, Israel will not be free. Because Egypt is not just an environment. Egypt had entered their heart. Egypt was in their heart. And so what God was interested in was not to kill the Egyptian. It was to show his excellency. And so when Moses killed an Egyptian and the anger of Pharaoh was released, Moses ran for his life. Because he now discovered that Pharaoh was a god operating by the power of a Leviathan. And when Moses ran to the wilderness, it took 40 years before God encountered him. And so in Exodus chapter 3 verse 14, when God spoke to him, Moses said, "When I go, who will I tell them sent me?" He said, "Tell them, I am that I am have sent you." Now, you will never understand that because science can't capture it. Because what "I am that I am" means is that whatever you call me, I become. That means I am too big to be trapped. You can't trap me to a book. You can't give me a name. So whatever you call me, I become. And so if you are walking in sickness and what you need is health, the moment you call "I am that I am," "I am that I am" becomes divine health. And then you come out of sickness. And then somebody else is going through poverty. And then he doesn't know what to do. And he calls on I am that I am. And suddenly an I that I am become a wisdom that produces wealth. And then somebody else is going through crisis and limitations. And he doesn't know what to do. And he calls on I am that I am. Now, if you are in isolation calling on him, you may think you have found him. And so you who found him in the place of sickness, you will meet the one who found him in poverty. And you will discover you are calling on the same being. But that same being means a million things. You will now discover that, oh, there is a being that dwells in Zion. And he's the reference of all reality. Because while we are in this auditorium, God means over 100 things to 100 people. Meanwhile, it's the same person we are calling upon. Because he is I am that I am. Reality dwells in him. And it doesn't stop there, because the operation of I am is not just to meet your need. What it actually means is that he is before time. That means time is in him. So you can't find a reference outside of him. Even what you call a reference is still a place on his inside, because there is something bigger than time. And when he wanted to show his excellency, I'm trying to tell us why we worship him. When he wanted to show his excellency, he carried Moses in the spirit, and Moses stood in the spirit and he looked and he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The question that Moses himself could not answer is, what was before the beginning? And before the heavens and the earth was created, where was he? It means there is something bigger than space, and there's something bigger than time. The reason you are able to have time is because God exists. The reason you are able to have space is because God exists. Now, if you discover this, you will now come out of your Range Rover and put it one side and say, Abba, Father. Because both you and your car and your house, you are inside God. If you wake up, you may think that you are smart, that's why you are succeeding. You will now discover that everything that comes out of you is still inside God. You will now say, I got a connection with this person, I got a connection with that person. All the people you got connected with are inside God. And so when you become wise, you will now discover he is the reference. Because he's the reference, the only thing you can do is to worship. Because you may wake up and say, I give 1 million. Both you and the 1 million is still inside him. Before you gave it, it was inside him. Because he's I am that I am. So the reason we worship him is because he defines our essence. Outside of him, you have no definition. And so when you discover he defines your essence, you will quit defining yourself by where you are. There are many Nigerians, all they want to do is to stand on London Bridge and snap, so that their friends will see that they came to London. Because that is what defines them. They feel more important because they came to London. There are many people, what defines them is the car they drive. And so when they come out of that car, they make a show of the car. You need to see what they drive. That is good, but it's mundane. Because there's a realm where they don't need car. In the realm of the I am, they travel by thought. That's why both... I'm trying to humble us. As human beings, we are big in our head. We are big. You flew in a first class and you crossed your leg with a bottle of wine because you want your friend to see. Well, it's only your friend that will be moved, because there are other creatures that will not be moved because you flew in a plane. The reason is because they can carry that plane on their finger. They don't travel by plane. They travel by the whirlwind. Because in the realm where God dwells, you don't need a vehicle to travel. Whatever you think, you come there. Because you are living in the I am. And so when you understand what worship is, you will now discover that worship is bigger than a song. The reason we worship with a song is because there is no way we can communicate the overwhelming excellency of God. And so when we come before him, anything that sounds good, we usher it to him. Because we have come to discover that everything is in him. And he's the one that gives relevance to things. And so on the strength of worship, we stop evaluating ourselves by what we have. We start evaluating ourselves by what he calls us. Because it's what he calls you that is your essence. In case he has not called you anything, it means you are floating like a balloon. Because your meaning is what he calls you. And so you will come to that altar until he defines you. And this will not stop in time. Because even in heaven, when John was carried to heaven, he said he saw the 24 elders. They had a crown and they sat on a throne. But they will never sit on that throne. Because when the glory of God appears, they fall on their faces and they cast their crown. They say, holy, We know we are wearing crowns and sitting on thrones, but this is not what defines us. You are the one that defines us, because you are the meaning of existence. When we worship God, it's a statement to us that outside of God, we are nothing, regardless of what we have and regardless of where we are. This is why worship concerts like this are very important, because it's a reminder that man without God is dust. The system may deceive you, because the system is created in such a way that pride can be weaved into your soul. Vanity can be weaved into your soul. Because what the system does is that it injects lust into you. It injects vanity into you. And a point will come, you will hit your chest and say, me? Oh, when you come to where immortals dwell, you will discover that outside of him you are dust. And the reason you can still breathe is because he is I am. And so in the place of worship, we come before him and we salute his excellency. Oh, Abba Father, I know that I earn £1,000,000, but you are my Ebenezer. I know that I have everything I need, but you are my help and my stronghold. The day will never come where I will put my trust in what I possess, because both me and what I possess is in you. You are the source. When you walk in an advanced civilization like this, it will be quick for you to forget that there is a God that puts breath on your nostrils. When you walk in an advanced civilization like this, it will be quick for you to think that, oh, because you have never had malaria since you were born. Those of us in Africa, from 4 months, we know the meaning of malaria. So it's easy for us to come close to God. But it's possible that you are 30 years old and you've never had malaria. So when they talk to you about sickness, you say, what does it mean? Ah, a day will come when this body, you will pull it off, because it's somebody that put it on you. And when that time comes, you can't struggle. He will pull it off you, and your spirit will come out of you, and you will discover that even though you didn't fall sick, he was still I am. Because what you are wearing, he put it on you. And when that day comes, nobody can fight. The doctors himself will say he gave up, because they don't want to share in the blame. That's why when people die, they say he gave up. Meanwhile, all of you were wrestling with life, but they say he gave up. What happened is that you didn't give up, you were summoned. Because when you came here, you were sent. And when your time elapses, you will be summoned. And if you like, be sitting in a Rolls Royce, you will still be summoned. If you like, be in the hospital, you will still be summoned. Because there's an immortal. Oh, he doesn't need your permission. The Bible calls him the sovereign one. He reigns eternal. He sits above the cycles of eternity. Anything he says is law. And you are because he said so. And the day he withdraws that word, you will vanish. That's why people walk today and say, God does not exist. He's too big to respond. He doesn't need to prove himself. That's why when the Bible was written, they didn't take time to justify his existence. They said in the beginning, God, whether you choose to believe or not, that's your business. He's too big to explain himself. He owns the earth. But when God opens your eyes and you know, the most reasonable thing to do is to worship. So we don't worship God because of what he does. We worship God because of who he is. That's why whether he gives you the money or not, hallowed be thy name. Whether he gives you the healing or not, hallowed be thy name. Because you don't worship him because of what he gives. You have already found out that everything you are is him. The reason you exist is because of him. So he has done too much already for what he does to be the reason for worship. You come to worship him because of his majesty, because of his excellency. So the first reason we worship and praise God is because we have discerned him. We know that we look intelligent, but outside of God, our intelligence will count for nothing. We know we are smart, but outside of him, our intelligence will count for nothing. And so with everything we are doing, we still come to him and say, Abba Father. The first reason we worship God is because of who he is. That's why you are gathered. And who he is what defines your existence. The second reason we worship God is because we have seen his love. You didn't ask him before you were created. The Bible said, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it said, God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Now, you are enjoying the earth. You go to Dubai, you snap like this. You didn't know that there was a conversation in a court in Zion, where the father spoke to the son and the son spoke to the spirit. And the spirit spoke to the father. And they said, let us create you. We want this one too to experience existence. That's why you came. You came because of the love and the benevolence of God. You didn't come because you argued with God. You didn't come because you insisted that you must come. Because if you didn't come, you wouldn't even have known. But he chose to give you the experience of existence because of his love. And when you came into the world, you learned so many sweet things. And you went on your own and forgotten. The Bible said, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us chose the way of sin and iniquity. Because we came into the world and we became smart and creative. We came into the world and we became very intelligent. And so many things began to move us. And we did what we did and we went the way of rebellion. God had the right to kill humanity. But even at that, he didn't. He went back to the court again. That place he was, when he said, let us make man, he went back there and said, the human race have abandoned us. What do we do? We can kill them and start another creation. But his love said no. Meanwhile, there are four things that define the justice of God. The first thing that defines the justice of God is the wrath of God. The wrath of God insists that every iniquity must be punished. And the punishment for iniquity is death. The second thing that defines the justice of God is the love of God. And why the wrath of God says you must die, the love of God says you must not die. And if you don't die, God will deny himself. Because he would have become unjust. And it's impossible for God to be unjust. And so what God decided to do was to introduce the equation of mercy. Because mercy prevails over judgment. And the way mercy enacted his oracle is that God himself decided to become man. So that he would die for man and give man a place among gods. And so what he did was that he left his throne. The same God that we discovered is I am that I am, that we worship, decided to become man. It's just like your pig misbehave and you are supposed to kill your pig. And the only thing you can do to redeem your pig is to become a pig. Imagine what it is to become a pig for one day. I hope you know the experience of man with God. The Bible says he dwells in light that is unapproachable. The glory of God is so much that even the angels can't come close to him. The brightness is his excellency and majesty is beyond human comprehension. When the 24 elders see him, they fall on their faces. Meanwhile, they have been there before the earth was created. And they can't look at him because of the excellency. When Ezekiel saw him in Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 1, he said he fell like a dead man. When Daniel saw him, he fell like a dead man. When John saw him, he fell because the brilliance was too much. Now, if I see you drive a good car, I will admire it. I will admire it again. After three times, I won't. Because this glory, it fades. But the glory of God is the excelling glory. It doesn't fade. You can look at God like this for eternity. You will not be tired. If you see somebody wear a tuxedo suit, you look at him and, wow, this is lovely. You will turn again. Wow. After three times, if he likes, if he do like this, you will not. This is a glory that fades. You see somebody, you say, wow, this guy is handsome. Wow, this lady is handsome. Wait until you marry the person. You will be in the same room. The person will be saying, darling, look at my hair. You say your hair is beautiful. You are focusing on your job. Because this glory, it fades. It's mundane. But the glory of God does not fade. The angels have been looking at him before the foundation of the world. They are not yet tired. But because of the love of God, what he did was that he took off the garment of glory. And he wore flesh. The flesh that we carry. The bodies of flesh. The mundanity of flesh. He wore it and he walked on the earth for 33 years. And he didn't just vanish to heaven. They nailed him like a criminal on the cross. And while he was on the cross, he was without sin. He was without offense. But what he wanted to do was to give you a way of escape. And so while he was on the cross, he included you in him. And by doing it, he took your sins upon him and he put his righteousness upon you. So that when you show up again, the judgment you deserve, you will not deserve it. So when we come to worship God, we come to worship God because we know we qualify for death. But instead of dying, he died for us. And when he died for us, he gave us his life. This is why when a man comes to worship God, he forgets what he's wearing. Oh, no, no. That's the last place to remember you were wearing a good dress. Sometimes when you want to worship God, the only way you can do it to be reasonable is to lie on the floor. This is why worship is not a song. Worship is actually a statement of gratitude that flows out of your spirit like a river, because you have discerned that what he has done for you, if they gave you 1,000 years, you can't repay. And so sometimes when you come, the only way you can worship is to cry. When the glory descends, you will just find yourself crying. That tears is 1,000 songs. Because in the realm of Zion, when they articulate your worship, they are looking for the element of gratitude that is on your inside. Because somebody may be singing, but it's a show. Meanwhile, somebody else may be crying, and the tears are 1,000 songs. And what the angels do is that, he said, the prayers and the tears of the saints, they are stored in heaven as odors in golden vials. Because every time God looks upon that tears, he sees a heart of gratitude. And so worship is beyond a good sound. It's a heart posture that is broken before God. It's a heart posture that have realized what God has done, and on the strength of that, is willing to surrender. Is to surrender. That's why sometimes worship migrates from crying, it becomes service, total surrender to God. But when you come to the UK, sometimes there is cold, so people can't come to church. Sometimes they want to watch online. I enjoy the service online. Oh my. If you have a legitimate thing to do, that's good. But if you don't have any legitimate thing to do, whatever it takes, you will come and lie down. Just to let him know that I am grateful. Oh, I'm grateful. Sometimes, oh my God. A man can come before God, and sometimes he doesn't even know what to say. And so he's quiet. That silence in the spirit is louder than a trumpet. Because when God checks him, he knows that he's overwhelmed with gratitude. What will he say? And so his silence in the courts of heaven is an alarm of thanksgiving. This is why you have to be discerning to be able to walk with this spirit. Oh, he's a wise God. He's a wise God. He's checking your heart every day to find out how grateful you are. And when you show your gratitude in the spirit, it becomes worship. There are times when you show up and you are overwhelmed. All you can do is to remove your shoe and start dancing. Somebody will look at you and say, oh, coordinate yourself. Come on. Coordinate. When David was dancing, Micah, the daughter of Saul, looked at him and said, don't you know you are a king? David looked at him. I'm a king among men, not among spirits. Among spirits, I'm a servant. He said, your father saw, they don't make me king. David danced until his apron fell off. He didn't notice. Because what he was doing that time was not a show, it was worship. That's why sometimes you dance until you forget the lyrics. Sometimes you dance until you go out of tune. The reason is because you have moved from the tune of the keyboardist. You have entered the tune of Zion. Because you remember the pit where God took you from. And the only way you can follow that frequency is to dance without coordination. There are times when you dance until sweat comes out of you like a river. All of that is a testimony in the spirit that this man is grateful. We worship God because we have discerned the love of God. Our generation is a godless generation. We are too busy pursuing things. And every time we come before the Lord, we are asking 1,000 questions and making 1,000 demands. Because what we were looking for before was big until God answered. The moment God answered, that thing became too small. And we begin to look for the next one. Meanwhile, those who are wise, as they are yet thanking God, God is producing the other one. Because a man who is grateful moves the hand of God. Why do we worship? We worship because we have discerned the love of God. And number three, why do we worship? We worship because worship is a weapon. There are princes in darkness that want you to die. There are many forces fighting against your existence. There are many powers that rule different territory. The operation may be different. In Africa, witchcraft manifests in poverty and wickedness. But it's not only in Africa. When you come to the West, sometimes it manifests as lawlessness and whoredom. And so you find a generation, everybody is struggling with lust. Every day you hear of divorce cases. People, families can't couple and live together anymore. The devil is fighting them. If they have a holiday for 3 days, and if they have a break for 3 days, and you don't go on holiday, they will fall into depression. Because their soul is hanging on the balance. And so every time there is 1 week holiday, they are looking for where to go for. Because they need a lot of distraction to be able to keep their soul in order. Because if you don't, there is depression. You find strange things happening to the minds of people. Because they are demons. They are wicked spirits that want to make sure they frustrate your existence. But when you worship, when you praise, when you sing and you dance, what you are doing is that you are fighting in the spirit. That's why in 1 Chronicles 20 verse 20, what shall we do? He said, let the singers take the instrument and sing and go to war. How do you go to war with a cymba? How do you go to war with a guitar? Are you all right? But when they were going, as they were playing those sounds, they were energizing the angels. And suddenly, three nations turned against themselves and hacked themselves to death. Do you think you can fight all your enemies? Oh, there are people fighting you now who you don't even know. You didn't offend them in any way. Somebody just talked to somebody about you somewhere and they heard. And they started running with that word that you are proud. And you don't even know them. Even when they meet you, some will meet you, they will not know you are the one. But they are fighting to annihilate your existence. Not because you offended them, but because God is raising you up. There are many forces fighting you that you are not even aware. There are certain people that the devil is not even dealing with them. He's waiting for their children. You give birth to the first child, autism. Second child, autism. Is your name autism? But there are wicked spirits. And then you find all kinds of things happening. Which one will you fight? I know by the principle of faith you can command the mountain to go. What if your mountain is a million mountains? How many will you remove? Because the warfare is too much. Is it about stray bullets? You go to work, you are coming back. A young man went to smoke and then he comes to stand and start shooting. In the US in 2022 alone, over 22,000 people died of stray bullets. Because somebody just comes to the mall and starts shooting. You go to the mall to buy what you will eat. And then another madman enters the mall and begins to shoot sporadically. Which of them will you fight? Because the battles are many. The general purpose machine gun in the spirit is to worship God. Because when you start worshiping God, the angels are mobilized. You don't need to know who your enemy is. You don't need to know the ones that are circumstantial. You don't need to know the ones that are coincidental. You don't need to know the ones that are deliberate. The more you worship, the more angels are mobilized. And your life begins to go forward and upward only. And people will say, how are these things happening? You are just worshiping God. Because when you worship God, you will provoke the jealousy of God. He will prove himself in your life. That's how God works. When they went to Jericho, there was no way they could conquer Jericho. It was an impregnable fortress. All of a sudden, God gave them a strategy. He said, go around the city for 6 days and blow the trumpet once. On the seventh day, go around 7 times and blow the trumpet 7 times. And the wall of Jericho sank. They didn't try to pull it down. The wall sank. When we begin to worship, angels begin to fight. The way to mobilize the jealousy and the faithfulness of God is through the instrumentality of worship. This is why those who worship are invincible. I wish I had time to teach you how things work. There are different things that Jesus said fight people that stand with him. If you are a witch doctor, no problem. They have their own principle. This one is for Christians. Witches have the way they survive. But if you are a Christian, this is our arsenal. Jesus said you will contend with mountains. Mountains are forces that limit you from going forward. You have all the certificates, but you can't be established. You are wondering why there are mountains. And when you are done with mountains, Jesus said there is the wind and the wave. The wind and the wave will allow you to make progress. But after 30 years of succeeding, it will now come to check your foundation. Because the wind and the wave will not stop you from progressing. It will uproot you after you have progressed. And so you hear of a family going for holidays and they have accident and 6 people die. And you are wondering, what is that? They are the wind and the wave. There are different kinds of battles we fight. Some are coincidences. Some are deliberately orchestrated. Some are circumstantial. But you don't want to know how it comes. What you want to know is that I am more than a conqueror. I don't know how the devil comes. I don't know how it happens. At the end of the day, I want to keep winning. If that is your verdict, the way to sustain it is by worship. When you worship, angels fight. When you worship, the jealousy of God is activated on your behalf. When you worship, God comes to defend his faithfulness, because your worship becomes a testimony in the spirit that you don't believe in chariots and horses, that you believe in the name of the Lord your God. And God will not allow his name to be ridiculed. The third reason we worship is because worship is a weapon of war in the spirit. And the fourth reason we worship, as I round up, is because worship triggers multiplication. These are mysteries in the kingdom. Worship triggers multiplication. It's not everybody prospering that is working so hard. Hard work is important because it's a character of your soul. But success is beyond hard work. After hard work, you have smart work. After smart work, you have favored work. Working by favor is superior to working with smartness. And working with smartness is superior to working hard. Many people are only working hard. And that's why they work hard until at the end of the day, their lives become so tight. Somebody worked after 3 years. He was working. He just collapsed. When they checked him, there was nothing wrong with him. The muscles were tired. He had overworked the muscle. He was working 2 shifts. 6 hours. 6 hours. So in a day, 12 hours non-stop. And here, it's not like Africa where you can be in the office and then you put earpiece, you are hearing music. Here, if they say walk, you will walk indeed. you will walk. You know, in Africa, you can call your friend and say, sorry, I know if you can't walk. I beg, cover for me. Nobody knows. Here, you walk with cameras. It's not only men that supervise. Even cameras supervise. And so if somebody is walking for 12 hours, it is 12 hours. Every second is counted. Worked hard until he walked into the hospital. And this hospital, he had lost God already. So God is not there. Even his life, he was about to lose it. Because he was only working hard. In addition to working hard, work smart. And in addition to working smart, work with favor. Because when favor comes, it amplifies what you do. Jesus, the Bible said in Jeremiah 30 verse 19, he said, because they have worshipped my name and sang my praise, he said, I will multiply them. They will not be small. I will increase them. They will be great and they will be many. There is an additional thing that comes into your labor that causes it to multiply. Sometimes even your wisdom multiplies. Even your inspiration multiplies. So as you are awake, you are having inspiration. When you are sleeping, you are having inspiration. As you are driving, you are having inspiration. Everything becomes a gate and a chamber for multiplication. Because there is a river flowing from you that God alights upon. When you want to see unending multiplication, you must make worship your lifestyle. Worship is first of all a revelation of who God is. Worship is also a revelation of the love of God. Worship is a weapon in the spirit. And number four, worship is a multiplier of your labors and your harvest. When you begin to worship, your life becomes invincible. Jesus said, as the wind bloweth. He said, thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. He says, so are they that are born by the Spirit. What it means is that our lives should be a wonder. Men should look at you and wonder at the level of impact. Look at you and wonder at the level of success. And that success will be so much, they will come to you and ask you, oh boy, how this thing they happen? And then you will now direct them to your God. Many people are doing what you are doing, but your own case is different. And then they are wondering, you look so young. How are you doing what you are doing? You say, it's the hand of God. They look at you and say, how come you are doing what you are doing? You say, it's the mercy of God. And they say, show me this mercy of God. How come you are the only one things are working for? And then you drag them to Jesus. Because everything God is doing with you is not just to prosper you. It's to make you a theater that manifests the glory of God. But if men are not yet coming to you, it means your life is still explainable. Isaiah said, I and the children the Lord has given to me, we are for signs, we are for wonders. If men can still explain your life, it means the supernatural has not come. I know you are a doctor, but there are many doctors today that are changing the world. I know you are a singer, there are many singers that are changing the world. All you need is the supernatural element. Because when a spirit wants to bless you, sometimes in order to make it obvious that what is happening to you is beyond you, he will tell you, go and sell pure water. And then you are selling pure water, you are making tremendous impact. And they say, come on, this is not possible. You tell them, yes, it's true. This is the finger of God. This is how God created us, to be a wonder to our world. But the problem is, we have not taken advantage of the weapons that we have in the spirit. 3 ways to worship God quickly. Number one is through praise, through thanksgiving, and through a dance. When you come and you pour your heart to the Lord, you are worshiping God. Worship is not just the slow song, no. Even the loud song where you dance is worship. Because at the end of the day, it's the content of your heart God is looking for. And you can emit it through dancing, through shouting, through singing. You can also emit it through the posture of reverence. How do you worship God? Number two, you worship God with your substance. Because giving your substance to God is a testimony that you believe that He's the one that provided it. That's why I said to honor the Lord with your substance. Worship is not just about dancing, singing, and lying down. Worship is also about bringing your substance and placing it at the altar. And so if you come for a worship concert like this, and all you did was to sing and dance, your worship was not complete. Because when a spirit wants to check your heart, there are ways he checks it. He says, where a man's treasure is, that is where his heart is. I know you told me you love me, but the way I want to see that love is to see the percentage of what you have that you can commit to me. This is not saying give a particular amount of money or give a particular... No. God judges by percentage. Because a man who is a millionaire can give 100,000, and a poor person who has nothing can give 20 pounds. In the eyes of God, the one who gave 20 gave more. Because God doesn't judge quantity. He judges the heart posture. And when your heart posture is right, it's reflected through the percentage with which you worship God. So you worship God also. I'm not taking a seed. I'm not calling people to give. I'm just teaching. Why did your faces change? I'm not taking a seed. Somebody say, wait, these men of God, they've come again. He wants to ask us to give. I don't ask people to give. I only preach and go away. Because the proof that you know it is not to be coerced to do it, is to do it by revelation. Praise God. And so you worship God with your substance. And finally, which is the most important, is that you worship God with your life. God is not interested in your money. Your money only shows that your heart is with Him. But much more, God is interested in the totality of your life. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, he said, I beseech you, dearly beloved, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Holy means completely consecrated to God. We have a generation of people that comes to church and act pious. The moment they walk out of church, they become wolves in sheep clothing. That's a large deception of ourselves. Because when God comes, He's checking out your heart. Can I surprise you? You can live in sin and give and multiply. Because the law of giving is universal. God does not need to accept your offering for you to multiply. It's just like, if I jump from here now, I will go down. If a liar jumps, he will go down. If a fornicator jumps, he will go down. Because what makes the result to happen is weaved into the law of nature. That's how giving works. Giving is a law in the kingdom. But if you want God to accept your giving, in addition to what you give, you must give God your life. If you are a thief, a liar, a fornicator, a whore. I don't know how to emphasize it. You live in decadence and corruption. You can come to church and act. Pastor may not discern you, but God will reject you 1,000 times. Because you can give all your body to be burnt, and God will still reject you. You can give all your money, and God will still reject you. What God is looking for is a testimony of a holy life. You have to become a living sacrifice. And if you check, this system is not interested in your money. This system is interested in your life. That's why you can come into this system. You can make money, but you become godless. Many pastors came to the UK, and after 1 year, they started selling food products. They began to import Nigerian food, and they became merchants. There are many believers today. It's on Sunday they work the most, because they pay more menial jobs on Sunday. And they have become so busy that God has gone away. Their soul is at the verge of absolute, complete loss, and they have not woken up. If your life is not first of all committed to God, you wasted your resources. And you may not know it in time, but by the time you get to eternity, you will know it. And so beyond the singing and the dancing, God is looking for a testimony of a holy life. And so when you come, God will ask, who are you? Even the princes in darkness are aware. They say, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who are thou? Because it's not only Jesus they know in the spirit. Everyone that follows Jesus genuinely, his name is on that register. And so when you want to cross the gates of the spirit, they will ask you, who are you? In church, you may be well packaged. You may even be the worship leader. And you may be an anointed one. Singing songs that are anointed, people will cry. People will dance. People will fall under the anointing. But at the end of the day, he will say, away from me, you that walk in iniquity. I'm not interested in a dance that from a life that is not committed to me. You can give all your money, and at the end of the day, he will tell you, get out from me. I know you not. I'm not interested in a giver who only gives money and not his life. I tell you, until a new generation that fear the Lord rises, there will be no hope for the next generation. If the fathers prayed, served God, and we are seeing this, imagine what will happen when our children come on board. The days of the fathers were the days where men went to pray on the mountains, sought God with all their lives. Our world today is in decadence. Even in church, there are wars you dare not mention. Because the government now edits your sermon. The world is that corrupt. If you like, read it from the first version of King James Bible. They don't care. When you say it, they say you are intolerant and they can shut down your church. In your nation here today, churches are being sold and they are giving it to estate developers. Churches are being sold and they are converting them to warehouses because the young people can't come to church anymore. They have found another obsession. They are either on video game or they are worshipping Arsenal and Manchester United. Because some people, Man U is superior to their God. In fact, Man U has become their God. They can be there from the beginning of the season to the end. There's nothing wrong in watching football. It's good entertainment. But when it takes the place of God, it's idolatry. A generation is about to be lost. A generation is about to sink. And so those who cry need to rise again. Like John the Baptist that was in the wilderness. Today, you are even careful to send your children to school. I came in from Scotland this morning. 4-year-old, 5-year-old children, they are asking them to decide their gender. Meanwhile, those children are not mature enough to choose the school they attend, but they are mature enough to determine their sex. You can see how knowledge is being perverted. And then you say, this is an elite nation. You say, Africa is uncivilized. Your own civilized nation, they are telling 5-year-old children to determine their destiny. So we learn book forward until we begin to go backward. And we still call it civilization because something is gone wrong. A lot of things are being edited because the princes of darkness are beginning to take over. Now, people will tell you what they want. They don't care what God said anymore. And pastors are being forced to obey what people say, not what God said. We will not keep our eyes open and allow iniquity to take over. God is raising a new army. God is raising a new generation. And one of the signs of those generation, of that generation, is that they are true worshippers. Because the Bible said, God is not looking for givers. He said he's looking for them that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And those who worship God in spirit and in truth, their life is first of all an offering. And like Esther, women will rise that will say, if I perish, I perish. Young men will rise like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he will say, oh king, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. When you read it in the Bible, you think they are stories. No, they are not stories. Those were the men that contended with the beast of their time. And if those men fought violently and valiantly, we will not bow to iniquity. We will not bow to idolatry. A generation must rise again. But for you to be fortified enough to stand to defend the glory of God, you must become the first offering. Because if God can't possess you, God cannot use you to possess others. If we hope for a change, then the change must begin with us. Lives that are completely surrendered to God. Some of us here, God is able to take a portion of our time. Some of us here, God is able to take a portion of our money. But much more than time and money, God is calling for your life. He's asking for a total surrender tonight. And the best worship that we'll have tonight is not a song. The best worship that we'll have tonight will be a testimony of a surrendered life. That we walk out of this place and say, oh Father, all I am and all I have is yours. Have your way. This is not a funny decision. Even Jesus, he battled with it in Gethsemane. He went to pray 3 times. And at the 3rd time, he said, Father, it's not my will, but thine. That's where true worship, the heaviest worship, that's where you find it. Our best worshipers are not singers. Our best worshipers are dead men. Those who have died to their own ambition. Those who have died to their own will. Those who have died to their own emotions. They've died to their own priorities. Only what God wants, they do. And tonight, I want to call for worshipers. Worshipers who are not necessarily singers. Worshipers who have surrendered their lives on the altar. And they will say, forever and ever, I will hold on to the horns of the altar. I know you have been a Christian, but tonight we call for worshipers. That God can break into your ecosystem and make any demand. And it's not something you think about twice. Anything he wants, you give him. This is where worship will move from excitement to a spiritual reality. And when worshipers arise, we can bring down the evil government that the devil is setting up in our midst. Can we bow our heads? Ah! We don't have time. We will plan something. We don't have time. I'm careful just selecting my words to be able to say a few things. But the day will come when you will find men who are surrendered and they will tell the Lord, even my breath belongs to you. All I am and all I have is yours. Have your way. If God can't find such men, then our prayer is religion. If God can't find such men, all we do is a show. In Africa today, everywhere people are praying, but they are not surrendered. And so prayer itself becomes a plague, because people who don't care about God and his kingdom are just praying to satisfy their needs. I told them in Motherwell, I said, the most corrupt men are not the politicians. The most corrupt men are those who use the name of God for gain. And most of them are Christians and pastors. You want to serve God and you want to be a worshiper? Some of us will worship by singing and dancing. Some of us will worship by giving. But all of us will worship by total surrender. And so this evening, you want to worship God with all your life. And you want to make a commitment. If you can. Do we have another 2 minutes for them to join me here? If you can. If you can. If you feel God is convicting you, not be emotional. Come to me. I'm tired of singing. I want to surrender my life completely. I know you are born again. I'm not talking to born again people. I'm talking to those who are surrendered. If you can. London is too important. England is too important in the agenda of God. We need men that know Jesus and know him experientially. Give to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Please. lift your hands toward heaven. Those of you who are sitting, can you stretch your hands and pray for our people here? These are not sinners, but they want to go deeper with God. I surrender all to everything, everything I give to you with all and nothing,
with all and nothing.
Please hear this in the name of Jesus Christ. As they are making this commitment, those of you that came here with needs, God is answering you now. Because he's lifting the weights. He's lifting the yokes. He's lifting the burdens. I'm already out of time, so I'm trying to compress things quickly. He's lifting every yoke, every burden, and every need you present tonight. He's taking it off. Meanwhile, those of them who are in front here, there will be a fresh baptism. A fresh baptism for some of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, a fresh baptism, a fresh, because the Lord will fill you again and prepare you for what he wants you to do. Hey, I, hey, I, hey, I, hey, I, hey, I.
Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.